Good morning. How are you this morning? All right? Praise God. God is good. I'm just going to read a quick verse to you before we start. This is Psalm 115, verse 1. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." So the title of my message today is not for us, but for his name. Not for us, but for his name. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your holiness. God, we thank you that you, a holy God, would choose to live in us, an unholy people. And we thank you that you meet with us, that we can come into your presence, that we can sing praises to you, that we can meet together, Lord, that we can open your holy word and we can learn from it and we can grow in it and through it. And Father, I pray today that your spirit would be with us. Father, we need your presence. God, we need you to speak to us. God, we need you to come with your fire and with your power and with your living water. Lord, we need to change. God, we need new hearts and new minds. Father, we need you today. And so I pray that you would speak in these next minutes, Lord, that you would come in your mercy and meet with us. God, open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes. Father, that this might be your word. God, that I might decrease, that you might increase. God, that we would hear from heaven this morning because you have met with us. And so, Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you for it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you guys, I don't know if you have your Bibles, there's going to be nothing up on the screen today except what you see right now, the cross. That's a good thing to be looking at, the cross. If you guys would open your Bibles with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to take a look at this today. We have lots to go through today, but God knows what we need to get through. Ezekiel 36, verse starting in verse 16. And this is the people of Israel have been exiled to Babylon, and Ezekiel is a prophet of the time. He had been in exile as well. And a constant call back to the Lord is what the prophets were doing. Always calling the people to repentance and back to the Lord despite their wicked ways. I'll pick it up in verse 16. And it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries in accordance with their ways and their deeds. I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. In that people said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they had to go out of his land." And so we have this picture. God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, "Ezekiel, speak to my people. Tell them of all the ways." So we always have to get back to knowing who God is. This is a holy God that we serve, that we come and we worship and we praise and we talk about and we read about. And he's reminding the people, he said, you're my people. And yet, you have lived as if you were not my people. You have defiled, tell the people they've defiled themselves before me. Meaning, they've caused themselves to be impure in their action. They have profaned my name, which that's where we get the word profanity from. Profaned my name, meaning they have discredited it, they have discounted it, they have dirtied it by their lifestyle. Israel, we always have to remember in the Old Testament, the great thing about the Word of God, it's just one continuing story. And whenever we're hearing about the people of Israel, because of Jesus, we've been grafted in, right, as Gentiles. It's all one family now. The people of Israel, that's us as believers. We're all one It's one body. Jesus is coming back for one body. And so we can always slip our names in there. When, oh, Israel. And we're always like, oh, man, those Israelites. They just never got it. They were so stubborn, so hard-headed. And then God's like, no, that's you. Oh, Michael, listen to me. And we need to remember, we need to keep God where he is, in the proper place. And he says, we have to remember God is a just God. We live in a day of an age of the lovey-dovey Jesus, who just wants to forgive you and be your friend. We even sing that song. I'm not saying anything against that song, but I am a friend of God. And sometimes that's what we hear about. God just wants to be your friend. But this is a holy God who is just. And we need the mercy doesn't work if he's not just. And so we have to keep God in his proper place. And God is calling Ezekiel to remind the people of who he is. He said, You have profaned my holy name. So much so that the people of the other nations are looking and they're saying, aren't those supposed to be the people of God? And yet, they live that way? And as I was preparing and reading and I was thinking about that, and I said, well, what does that look like to us? You know, if you're here today and you profess Christ, you have put that label of yourself as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, what do people say when they look at you? Do they say, I thought that person went to church. I thought that person was a man or a woman of God. But yet, did you hear what they were talking about? What discussions do you engage in your life? What's on your TV screen at home? How do you treat your spouses or your kids or your coworkers? Do you play church? Do you show up on a Sunday morning just to do your duty, and yet the rest of the week you profane the Word of God in God's holy name? And so as an intro here, Ezekiel is just, God's addressing this with the people. How? Remind them of this. Pick up in verse 21. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. We'll take a look at that for a minute. God said, I didn't have concern for my people. He said, I had concern for my name. And that's something I maybe challenge us with thinking about. God is always interested in himself. Because he's not, I'm not saying, we're going to get into later how he's concerned with us. Don't say, thinking I'm a heretic up here. All right? You got to stick with me. But God is concerned above all else for his name. Because he is a holy God. And that's what he cares most about, is remaining, keeping his name holy. And how does he do that? Amazingly, he uses you and I, this wretched people, right? And he says, praise God, we now have that spirit. Where people used to have to go to the temple of God to experience God, we are the temple of God. We carry the presence of the living God. How amazing is that? That this living God, this creator of all the universe, lives, dwells inside of us. But how do we carry his spirit? How do we present this living God in how we live? And God said, I'm concerned about one thing, Ezekiel. I'm concerned about my name. My reputation is on the line because of how these people have lived. Have you ever thought about that? That how you live, as we call ourselves Christian, that we're putting God's name out there. When we attach Jesus to our lives, when we say, oh, why don't you come to church? And we are putting the reputation of the living God. Now, God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And so we have this idea that God's saying, this is about me. And it's always about him. Always. Always about him. And when we can get that perspective that it's always about him, then we're on the right track. It's really not about us. Not for us, but for his name be the glory. Let's continue on. Pick up with me at verse 22. It says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name. See, we see that again. He said, it's not for your sake, but it's for my name. It's for my name, not for them. It's not about the Israelites. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Verse 23, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. Or in other words, vindicate just means to clear. I'm gonna renew my name. I'm gonna make my name holy again. The name that my people took and they rubbed in the dirt, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make it holy again. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Here we go. There we see it. We're starting to see it. God says, I'm going to make my name holy again. You know how I'm going to do it? Here we go again. I don't know why he keeps doing it, right? I'm going to do it through you. You the ones who profane my name. You the ones who disrespected me. I'm going to, yet in my grace and my mercy. See, we have the just God and we have that God of mercy. They work hand in hand. He says, and yet I'm going to do it again. I'm going to come again and I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to renew my name. I'm going to make my name holy again through you. What an amazing God he is that he would do such a thing. Now, I want to kind of parallel a little bit as we're going through Ezekiel is what a picture of kind of understanding this through the Apostle Paul. What a man who really lived a life all for the glory of God. A man who considered himself the chief of sinners, right? Who himself as nothing. In 1 Corinthians 1, I'm just going to read to you what Paul wrote here. We're going to tie this all in together. Chapter 1, verse 27, he says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. If you hear nothing else this morning, and many of us have been sitting here, you've been sitting in church for decades, and you say, oh, you already know this. But as a reminder, if you get nothing else, until we are nothing, we can't be anything. Until we are come to the reality that we never were anything, we're not anything, and we will never be anything apart from Christ. That's the key to surrender. That's the key to victorious living in Christ. When I wake up daily and say, I am nothing, but in Christ, I am all things. Until I become like a fool, until I realize I know nothing, that it's all for his name. I am but, and the Israelites, they always thought better, right? Always, Moses, shouldn't we? On and on and on. They always thought better, right? And it was at the moments that they became nothing that God did a work, that God could do a work. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. We have nothing to boast about. Nothing. We can't. Think about it. Think of all the ways, right, that you think you could boast in what you've done for God, right? Oh, think of all the ways on the other end of how you've defiled the name of God in your life. It's overwhelming, right? It might make you hide under a rock. And I tell you, that would be, it's the glory of the gospel we're going to see, of how it all comes together in the next couple verses. God in his judgment, God being a just and holy God, as we all know, we shouldn't really be here. Right? He wiped out all humanity once, except for a couple people. Was ready to do it again, except for the intercession of Moses. And I throw that little commercial in there. You read through the Old Testament and the life of Moses, and how many times Moses stood in the gap and he interceded for the people of Israel when God had enough. Enough! I can't do it. And Moses said, God, please, in your mercy, would you? And that's, there's people in your lives who need you to intercede, to stand in the gap for them. Loved ones who don't know Jesus, people who are sick, people, we need to intercede. We need to step in there and pray, oh God, have mercy on them, whatever it might be. So we're going to go back to Ezekiel. We're going to begin to see that holy, mighty God, and we're going to see that the mercy of God. But I want you to keep that theme that it's all about him. And how many times he says, I will do it. It's about me. It's for my name. We pick up in Ezekiel 36, verse 24. He says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. So God says, look, I'm going to do this for my namesake. I'm going to give you another shot, or a thousandth shot. You've already messed up, and you can't do it yourself. You can't fix it yourself. You can't earn your way to God. You can't earn your way back. You can't come to church enough. You can't say all the right things enough. It's about him. It's only through the cross. It's only through Christ. It's only through his power. It's only through his name. And he says, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back to your inheritance. I'm going to bring you back to where you belong. And how am I going to do this? I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. And you will be clean from your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. It's another message in itself. But what is higher than God in our lives? What idols do we need to be cleansed of? Purged of. When the Bible talks about fire in the New Testament, it's talking about a cleansing fire. Are you allowing the Spirit of God to cleanse you by his fire? To remove, to take down the things in your life, the idols. But God says, I want to do that. I want to sprinkle you. I'm going to pour out my cleansing power on you and make you new. We go on in that verse 26. He says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. God said, I will do this. Because when we try to do it ourselves, even as Christians, as believers, and we stumble and we try to get back on track, God says, stop. Right? This is the message of the gospel that we have to tell to false religions out there who try to earn their way. And then somehow we come to Christ, and we sometimes think we can earn our keep, right? Well, I know I can't earn my way to God. It's only through Jesus. And then we have Jesus, and then we stumble and fall along the way, and we think we can get back on our own thing. God says, stop. The same way you came to me is the same way you need to stay in me. It's not by you, it's by me. Only I, through my Spirit, can do that work, can keep. Only Christ can keep us. We need to live in that reality where God says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. And then he says, I like that little addition, he says, and be careful to obey my rules. Because God knows our heart. It's deceitfully wicked above all things. And so he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pour out my spirit to you. I'm going to give you my son. And I'm going to put a new heart in you and a new spirit. I'm going to give you a heart transplant. I'm going to give you a new mind. And I'm going to cause you to think differently and act differently so that when you walk into work, people are like, what happened to you? And they watch us day in and a day out and they're waiting for us to profane the name of God. But day goes on and month goes on and year goes on and years go on and they're like, there's something different. They say something and they actually live it. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but when someone says, you know, I've been kind of looking at your life, but you actually seem like you really believe what you say because I see it in how you act. I see it in how you treat your kids. I see it in whatever it is. And so God wants to bring us to that point where it's all new. Again, even for those of us who this message is for the unbeliever, God's saying, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how much your sin has kept, I'll cleanse you. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. And for those of us who are in Christ, he's saying, don't you remember I gave you a new heart? I gave you a new spirit? Live in that way. Live as if you have a new heart and a new spirit. And I'm going to jump back here to Paul for a minute, finishing up what I read before. He goes on, he says, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. And because of him, you are in Christ. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It's all for the glory of his name. It says, and who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All things are from Christ. Christ saves us. Christ sanctifies us. And Christ will lead us forward. Why? So that we might give the glory to him. So that when that situation goes on in your life and God works a miracle, you can say, it's all for the glory of God. I didn't do anything. And when you testify to people and you pray, I encourage you, most powerful tool we have, or one of the most, is prayer. You know, and whatever, I don't know if you're a teacher, whatever you are, you might say, well, I can't really share the God. But you can pray for people. And prayer changes things. It really does. And when you pray for somebody, because there's people who pray and they pray this nice prayer, but it's empty. But when a spirit-filled believer prays, people say, I've never had anyone pray like that. I never heard anyone. There's a quick story. George Mueller, who was a missionary to over 10,000 orphans in England back in the 1800s, real quick, before he was following Christ, he was just appeasing a friend, and he went to a Bible study. He was a hard partier, a drunk, and a gambler. His friend invited him to the Bible study, and he was like, I'll just go there just to shut my friend up, basically, is what he did. And he goes in, and the guy leading the Bible study, a spirit-filled believer, prayed. And he said he prayed as if he was speaking to somebody that was in the room. And it really hit him. It spoke to him. And when we have the Spirit of God and we pray for someone in the Spirit, I've had people tell, nobody's ever prayed for me before. You know, you're the first person that actually prayed. And when you tell people, you say, can I pray for you? They're like, yeah, sure. They think you mean you're going to pray for them. And they say, no, I want to pray for you right here. And they get all, what, they're looking around. Who's around? Who's going to see? What do you mean right here? Like, you can do that? You don't have to be in church? See, We have to remember, the world doesn't know. If you don't have Jesus, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the things of the Spirit. You don't. If you've been stuck in religion your whole life, and then this Spirit-filled person with a new heart and a new mind comes along and says, I'm going to pray for you right now, and you pray for them, that's going to do something. If nothing else, it plants a seed in them. What power we have with the living God in us. So I want to encourage you in that. Whoever that is, wherever you are, to take the times, to be that breath of fresh air. Again, so that person can say, well, why do you, it's for the glory of God. Let me tell you about how I used to be. Boom, and then you could go into your testimony and share the gospel, right? If God leads. But we have to set ourselves up to give God the glory in all things, in our family, again, in our places of employment, in our church, right? Wherever we are, we spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Is that you? Do you spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ? What? Stop for a minute. What a humbling thing that is. That God, we're like a bunch of, you know, air wicks for Jesus. Right? Ever think about that? That God, again, this holy God, would look at you and I, would look at our heart and say, man. And He's like, no, you are the presence of God. I want you to, you're the aroma, the New Testament, of Christ. Do we live in that? What an opportunity, what a privilege. What a humbling thing to think that we are the aroma of Christ. And just like when you smell that really good thing cooking, it draws you in. What are you cooking? What are you baking? And the aroma of Christ draws people in, not to you, but to Him. All for His glory, for the glory of God. I'm going to kind of run through Ezekiel. We're going to start wrapping up here. Back to Ezekiel, picking up in verse 28, if you're following along with me. It says, you shall dwell in the land. See, when we come to this cleansing and when we get rid of the old things, God promises are still there. His purpose is always for the promised land. Yeah, in heaven, in glory someday, but now. Right? Your true life is hidden in Christ now. How good? We don't have to wait till eternity. We can experience true life now. And He says, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from your uncleanness, and I will summon the guilt and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. What a good God. Right? He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you in the new land, and I'm going to, look, as we all know this, anyone sitting in this room who's been walking with the Lord for any time, it's not perfect. It's not without trials and tribulations. But He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your needs. That thing you've been struggling with, God's got you. He knows your need before you ask. Right? He says, I'm going to take care of you. Because of my name, I'm going to do this. Because of my name, I'm going to work in and through your life. But there's always the reminder, verse 31. He says, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abomination. We need to always, we shouldn't live in the past, but remember where we came from. Right? Did Moses not always remind the people, remember when God, anytime they grumbled, don't you remember at the Red Sea when God brought you through? Don't you remember when you were hungry and bread came from heaven? Don't you remember? Yeah, we were in slavery, You and I were in slavery, but remember the faithfulness of God. Be reminded of what he took you from. Verse 32. It is not for your sake, we see it again, that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. It is not for your sake that I will act. Let that be known. God's trying to make a point here. It's not about us. It's not about us. He says, be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. As I'm reading these next verses, I want you to think, this is the power of God. This is what God wants to do in our lives. These following things, it says, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. God wants to make new what is old. He wants to take that which is defiled and make it holy in our lives. We have a hurting world out there. It's a mess. People's lives are a disaster. Disaster. Absolute disaster. I see it every single day when people walk in the mission and kids I work with and they're a wreck. They need Jesus. And that new spirit comes in and offers that new life. That's all. I tell the kids all the time, I say, guys, or on the street, wherever it might be, I say, I have nothing to give you, nothing to offer you except Jesus. That's it. That's all we have, but that's enough. That's all they need. And God comes in and he makes this new creation. Watch what happens in verse 36 here. After I do this, God says, well, 35, I'm sorry. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. These are the nations that are left all around. You shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. We started off saying is that Ezekiel spoke through the Lord, and he said, the other nations, you know what they're saying about you? They say, aren't those the people of God? And yet they live in such a way, profaning and defiling the name of God. And then God says, but I'm going to do something in you. You know what? As a matter of fact, I want to do something in you because that's the kind of God I am. John started off the service just talking about the love and the mercy and the goodness of God. And God says, I care enough about you that I'm not going to keep you there. But now I'm going to make it a point where people say, and they will say, this land that was desolate, that person was a mess. What happened to them, Jesus? I remember when they used to speak, Jesus. I remember when they used to go to the out to the bar, Jesus. I remember when their marriage was about to break, Jesus. Right? And all the glory goes to Jesus. And people are drawn to Jesus. And then they change and they get a new heart and they tell somebody about Jesus, all for the glory of God. Not for us. It's not about us. It's all for his name. And when we begin to live in that reality, that it's all for his name, and when we say, God, I can't do it. It's too hard. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been, the trial I'm facing. You don't know where I've come from. And God says, yes, I do. Yes, I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I've been tempted. I've been insulted. I've been spit at. I've been mocked. I've been betrayed. I get it. And this is what he comes with this voice of hope. And we're gonna close here and pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, the Apostle Paul, who was dealing with, people try to figure out what his thorn in his side was, this thing that nagged him. But he says this about it chapter 12, verse 8. It says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this thing, whatever it was, that it should leave me. But he said to me, this is what the Lord says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Apostle Paul got it. He understood where he had been. A man who killed, persecuted, beat Christians, hated God. Well, he didn't hate God. He hated followers of Christ because he was a religious man. He did all the religious things right, but he had no life. And he came to this reality, therefore I will boast in all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, I am but nothing, but for the glory of Jesus. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Are you weak today in the spirit? You might be weak in your physical state, and that's, you know what? That's good. That's just a step in the right direction. Because God, again, he constantly just wants to knock us down. When we feel too strong, right? Get off your high horse, that type of thing. That's when he says, for my name's sake, let me take you down a notch. When you're doing real good for the Lord, he says, let me humble you a little bit. Let me give you a little trial, a little calamity, if you will, a little persecution, some insults. And we say, oh, why God? Because he wants himself to get the glory through us that we can never boast. And we can't, what could we boast in? How about that for a minute? Really, what could we boast in? I have brought you into this world. I will take you out of this world, says the Lord. What do we have to boast in but Christ? As we close in prayer, I just want to just ask you guys to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I don't know what God's speaking to you. I believe that he is by his Spirit. Maybe something different for each of us this morning. And as you guys know, it's not an altar or a place to come up. It is not, there's no magical thing about it. But sometimes it's just a place to just do business with God. And maybe you've been living in a way that hasn't really honored the Lord, like the Israelites in the beginning of that story. You've, in some manner, even if it's just one way, one area of your life that's profane the name of the Lord, defiled it. Admit it, repent, turn, leave it at the foot of the cross this morning. Or maybe you've been feeling weak and beat up. God says, I'll give you a new heart and a new mind. I'll give you my Spirit. I'll renew you. I will do it. Or maybe you just need a refreshment of the Spirit this morning. Or in admitting that you've been trying to do it your own way and it's just not working. I'll give you an opportunity to come forward. If you want someone to pray with you, we will pray with you. If you want to just get before the Lord, then just get before the Lord. But as I pray, if you want to come, then come and let's close out. Father, In the name of Jesus, we are humbled by your goodness. Lord, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Father, I thank you this morning that your desire is for your name to be glorified through us, in us. God, I pray that you would pour your Spirit out upon us, that you would do a deep work, in our hearts and our minds. God, that we would examine our lives. That we would allow you to remove our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that we would not speed out of your presence, that we would not move if you are working and dealing with us. And so we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We just want to tell you that we love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you do for us. Oh God, the mercy, the forgiveness. We thank you that your grace is sufficient. And when we are weak, you are strong, oh God. And may it not be for us, but for your name be the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just ask that if there are people, if you leave the sanctuary, just go out quietly and fellowship downstairs. If again, no need to jump out of your seat. If you want to just stay in the presence of God, then I encourage you to do so.